Hey y'all, it's Stephanie from Root to Seed. In this episode, we will discuss ecosystems, biodiversity, native and invasive plants. I thought this was a proper timing for this, as this is usually when people start buying plants from local garden centers and big box stores. But first, I want to tell you some news. Since our last episode, we've begun integrating the chicks with the hens with short visits in the coop, and they'll be out there full time in about a week. We tested our strawberry jam flavors for 2021, and after many tastes with a variety of herbs, thyme was the winner. So strawberry thyme jam will probably be ready around June. Keep your ears open. We also, using square foot gardening methods, planted carrots, peas, radishes, beets, and lettuce outside. It is a little early, but they are all cold friendly and can take a bit of a chill. We also planted, or probably better to say sprinkled, wildflower seeds in garden borders, and we fertilized, amended, and seeded the front lawn. There's rain in the forecast, so we took advantage. I'll be right back in just a few seconds to talk about ecosystems. Technically, an ecosystem is a biological community and its non-living physical environment. In more understandable terms, it is all of the living organisms, including plants, animals, funguses, bacteria, and such, in a given area linked together through nutrient and energy cycles with their physical environments, which could be the soil, air, water, sun, rain, and so on. Ecosystems can be as small as a single oasis in a desert to hundreds of square miles of a rainforest, your own backyard, or the planet as a whole. Ecosystems can be either stable, where the assortments of living organisms remains relatively constant over long periods of time, or unstable, where new species come and go rapidly. Ecosystems can also be resilient, where changes in the physical environment or biological communities are self-repaired and the system tends to revert back to its original composition. Or they can be fragile, where small changes in species composition or physical characteristics cause existing species to die or to move away permanently. Ecosystems are the concept, for example, say you wanted to protect a particular species, perhaps the North American toad. You need an understanding of all the life and characteristics of the whole ecosystem, and this is because the toad depends on the whole food and nutrient chain, not just the insects it prefers to eat. There are smaller ecosystems that include your lawn, your back woodlot, a native garden, vernal pools, wetlands, and ponds. And similar to human communities, these smaller ecosystems are connected to each other and can exist inside larger ones and share plants, animals, and resources within them. The ecosystems that you and your community care for can have a healthy or harmful impact on the larger ecosystem around you, like the watershed, the nesting and foraging grounds for birds and animals, and the quality of air and water. We talked a little bit about this in last week's episode about lawns. Organic gardeners use the concept of ecosystems in two ways. First, we believe that natural ecosystems are better for our health and the health of the planet, and thus should be restored whenever possible. A natural ecosystem is loosely defined as those that existed before we went through our industrial revolution in the 1800s. The second is the concept of managing our properties as whole ecosystems, so they produce for us the healthiest, most stable, attractive, and useful property with the least amount of effort, cost, and materials. These concepts are powerful, but differ significantly from the majority of conventional gardeners whose focus is on continually treating individual pest, disease, and other problems. I'll be back in just a few seconds to talk about biodiversity. Sometimes, taking in new information and then attempting to facilitate what you learned can be daunting. Well, we're here to help you. Did you know Root to Seed offers consultation? This can be done on site if you're local, or it could be done virtually. We can help with planning, problem solving, designing, insect or disease issues, or pretty much any other questions you have. If you're interested, you can contact us through the website or email at www.roottoseedonline.com if you'd like additional information. We hope to hear from you. Biodiversity is a measure of how many interacting species are in an ecosystem. Biodiversity can be measured in ecosystems of all sizes, in a teaspoon of dirt, your lawn, your town, your planet. As a general rule, biodiversity leads to a more robust ecosystem, one that can withstand drought, floods, toxins, invasive species, and disappearance of isolated species without collapsing. This means that reducing biodiversity increases the chance that even a small change will cause an ecosystem to collapse, leading to an abrupt and complete change in the types and abundance of creatures that inhabit it. Organic gardeners increase biodiversity in order to make them more stable and to reduce the amount of energy and materials required to maintain them. Now that you have a good understanding of ecosystems and biodiversity, let's move on to native plants. Native plants are important to increase biodiversity. A native plant is generally considered to be one that occurred in a particular region prior to European settlement in America. These plants have been around long enough to become adapted to the local physical and biological conditions without the need for outside human intervention. Native plants are valued for their economic, ecological, genetic, and aesthetic benefits. Using native plants can actually attract other native species and greatly increase biodiversity. Since native plants are adapted to a particular region, they tend to resist damage from freezing, drought, common diseases, and herbivores. They need little to no watering or fertilizing. Plus, there are specific associations of living creatures with plants. For example, the soil-dwelling creatures with woody debris, pollinators with flowers, and birds with trees and bushes. These can only be sustained by planting native plants. Native plants also provide key elements for ecosystem restoration. You can find a good searchable database kept by URI that has all of the Northeast natives with photos and where you can purchase them. The link will be in the show notes. As you might assume, invasive plants are non-native species that have spread into an area or landscape and caused economic or environmental harm by developing self-sustaining populations and becoming dominant or disruptive in those areas. Invasive plants may also create significant changes in the composition, structure, and ecology of the natural environment, including changes in soil chemistry, biology, and structure. In addition, their ability to compete for sunlight, water, and nutrients, invasive plants usually have few or no natural enemies to keep their population in balance with the rest of the local ecosystem. With no check on their growth or spread, invasive plants are able to form pure stands where no other plant grows. It disrupts the food chain upon which insects, birds, and other animals depend. It's important to not plant invasives and to remove them or stop their spread on your property. I'll be listing some of the more common invasives you'll find in a garden shops that should be avoided in the community blog on www.roottoseedonline.com. Some invasives are such a threat that they need to be reported to the state. Some examples include myelominate vine, giant hogweed, and hydrilla. Complete lists are compiled by states and can be found on your state's agricultural or conservation website. I've added a good link for Rhode Island in the show notes. State and local authorities attack invasive species very aggressively when they first appear in hope of eradicating them entirely, at least locally. This is currently the case with the myelominate and giant hogweed. If an invasive becomes established in an area, it is almost impossible to eradicate, and goals of elimination turns to efforts to manage and minimize the damage. These efforts include prohibiting the sale of invasive species, removing them from sensitive areas, initiating biological controls that will be permanently incorporated into an ecosystem, and public education to prevent planting and spreading. One quick break before my final thoughts. Finally, I wanted to share this information with you now before you go buying your plants. Stores will not label or even know in some cases that what they are selling are considered natives or invasives. Please take a look at the resources listed and do know that if you have certain color or type of plant that you're hoping for, you will be able to find a native plant that fits what you're looking for. It will also be healthier and happier over time. So next steps, encourage more native species on your property. Be aware of invasive plants and remove them from your property if possible. Preserve existing plants that attract native fauna, such as oak, black cherry, crabapple, blueberries, huckleberries, native wild roses, red cedar, elderberry, shrubbery dogwood, goldenrod, aster, sedges, and native grasses. Learn about your water cycles, plants, and animals in your local ecosystem. Go on walks in nature and observe nature's landscaping. See how certain plants prefer sun or shade, wet or dry, the way certain plants and animals are found together, how fallen leaves and pine needles act as natural mulch and fertilizer, how seeds are spread, and so on. Nature can give us some really great ideas on how to landscape our own ecosystems. I do hope you enjoyed this episode. Next week, we'll discuss the secrets in your soil. Do check out the community blog. There's lots of information you can use right now. If you're liking the podcast, do be sure to subscribe and leave a review. It really does help us to bring you great content. Until next time, be kind to the planet, be kind to each other, and join our community.